morning! This is Bridget Nelson from Mystery Science Theater 3000 and Riff Tracks, and you are listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'll see you in the future.
Welcome to Too Much Scrolling for January 23rd, 2018. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hassenflow.
We're just a couple of guys sitting around talking about things that are important to us. Hopefully they're important to you. And if you need more information, there's so many great ways to find more information. This week, Chip, there's so many things out there. There's so much stuff. I'm getting to the point, I don't know about you, I'm getting to the point where I'm almost overwhelmed by the amount of great movies and TV shows that are out there. I'm missing out on so many things.
Well, that is going to define this era, mm-hmm. is this the abundance of good stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, you were the person who missed Walking Dead, and you'll discover it 10 years from now because, you know, at that point, maybe they've changed the business model.
Maybe.
Or Game of Thrones or whatever the thing that you missed.
It's so hard to keep up with all of them because there's so many wonderful pieces of art being produced.
Well, it's a great time. It's a great time for anyone who wants to consume something.
Yes.
Film at 11.
Brings us to our film at 11, our movie of the week. I got a chance to see one of the great movies of 2017 this week. I finally went to the movie theater and saw Coco, Disney's Coco.
Coco, which is, we thought it should have been released in October.
It was released on the Day of the Dead in Mexico because it's a movie about the Day of the Dead.
Of course, and we got it during the Thanksgiving break.
Happy Thanksgiving.
And it's still, surprisingly, in the theater. It's amazing anything would stay in the theater that long.
That is a rarity right now, that something would stay in the theater and still be available and still have a large audience. When we went, the place was packed.
Really?
Yeah. This is a great family movie. This is Disney at its finest. It's a cultural movie, but it's really about all of us. Mm-hmm. And the animation is stunning. We are in an era of digital computer generated movies right now that I just stared at it. The themes, the story, the characters are wonderful in this, but I was staring at the technology more than any of those things.
Okay. And the theme of this is family, right?
Yes.
And generations.
Generations and honoring and being a part of a family and what happens when you're a part of a family and what happens when you lose a part of a family. It's a beautiful story, beautifully done, and the water is fascinating.
The technology that puts together water is truly an artistic miracle.
It's an art in and of itself. Just that aspect. This is a beautiful film. You should go see this. Bring some tissues.
Family film?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
There is definitely a family film aspect to this that maybe I was not the right audience for parts of it. Maybe I'm a little too old to look at some of the themes, but there's that overriding theme of honoring your family and your elders, and it's a tearjerker.
See, not that much gray hair there, Grasshopper. You're still a young guy.
I got one patch of gray hair. Bothers me. It looks like somebody put white out on like one patch of my head. You have been able to get to something that I've been really wanting to get to, and I'm going to watch this. I swear to God, I will get time to watch Philip K. Dick's Electric Dreams. These are available on Amazon Prime, and they are like the Twilight Zone of the 21st century in a lot of ways.
In fact, I'm watching it on the Apple TV app,
mm-hmm.
and I'm working out,
uh-huh.
and I, you know, they go just enough time. It's a little bit longer than my workout. But anyway, my point being is that this is sort of a Twilight Zone-ish. Mm-hmm. There's probably 10 or 12 episodes. I can't remember what it is. But each one is a self-contained story.
It's a short story format, just like the Twilight Zone was in the 1960s.
With a little more of a science fiction uh-huh. twist to it.
Uh-huh.
The day of the future, Tomorrowland type of feel to it.
Uh-huh.
So Philip K. Dick wrote these back in the 50s.
Right. He was born in Chicago. He's Chicago's very own Philip K. Dick. He was born in 1928.
Okay.
And he was in there they're writing short stories in that era of science fiction short stories. You've got the ABCs of sci-fi, Asimov, Bradbury, and Clark, and Philip K. Dick is the D of those. Boy, that sounds bad in the 21st century. I can't say it that way. But the idea is he was in there. He is a fantastic writer. I love his writing.
Very high levels, very great, good cast. You've got an all-star. You'll know all these actors.
Yes.
And the whole time I'm watching them, I keep going, wow, this is good quality. Mm-hmm. And not every one of the shows is the highest level. It doesn't really matter. On a whole, this is very, very good. I did find out that they are being presented on Amazon Prime in a different order than they were presented when they were first released on the British television in England. So they switched them up a little bit. It doesn't really matter. They're all standalone anyway.
Right.
And I think the first one you'll be very aware of, especially if you saw a certain Arnold Schwarzenegger movie from a few years ago.
Or the remake. This is very similar to Total Recall, the Philip K. Dick story that was turned into the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie and then into the remake. I love what Philip K. Dick does with who are you? What makes you you? How is your consciousness available to you? Big questions, huge questions that you really don't get a resolution to in Philip K. Dick's architecture because he doesn't know.
Well, they're designed to make you think, and that's not the only one. Every one of them ones is there's the little twists at the end. These are not Twilight Zone twists, but they do. There's something going on that's going to ask you to review what you just saw, and very, very good, very good. And like I said, I watched this on the Amazon Prime app, if you have a Fire Stick or anything like that. Or
very futuristic of you.
Oh, that's right.
To stream this video. Now, you're not watching Black Mirror on Netflix right now.
We'll get to that. We'll get that to a different week, Steve.
Those are kind of like this, only a lot darker. Like, you want to go take a shower after watching those. These don't give you that same Dark Mirror flavor. You certainly are questioning things, but not the way Dark Mirror, Black Mirror does.
But these are meant for adults. Mm-hmm. There's many times there are adult situations between the sheets, if you're listening to me, which may not be appropriate for young audiences.
And certainly the subject matter is probably not appropriate for younger audiences either. I'm not sure that my 11-year-old is ready to contemplate consciousness in the same way that Philip K. Dick was.
All right. I got to see other things this week, Steve.
Yeah, you got to see Marshall. This is the movie all about Thurgood Marshall that came out last year.
This is, it stars Black Panther.
Chadwick Boseman is the actor's name.
Black Panther was also in 42, Steve.
Yes, he was. He was Jackie Robinson, Black Panther.
And he also was a singer as James Brown and other things.
And so, I still haven't seen that one.
Get On Up.
Everyone says Get On Up was such a good movie, and I still haven't gotten to that one. That's on my list.
And it also stars Olaf. So,
yes, Josh Gad. Give me a Josh Gad. I even watched the Josh Gad sitcom that was on last year. It wasn't very good, but it was Josh Gad.
Well, this is an excellent film, especially as we move into February when it's Black History Month.
Yes.
This would be something, if you have not watched, go ahead and pull it up and watch it. You will not be disappointed. The fun story I got from this is that Thurgood Marshall was trying to go to the University of Maryland to go to law school. University of Maryland was not integrated at that time, and so he chose to go to Howard, which is in Washington, D.C., which is a very good school, and it's a historical black college.
Okay.
So he gets his law degree. The first thing he does is sue the University of Maryland, and that's how they got integration at the University of Maryland.
Wow.
So, you know, we think about it had to happen at some point, and he was the catalyst that helped and get started. Now, he was also an attorney for the NAACP, and he was sent all over the United States to work on cases where race was certainly an issue, and the person was presumed innocent. Like, that was one of the first questions he asked this person up in Connecticut, where he was sent, was, did you rape this person? I did not rape this person. Okay, you have an attorney now. Mm-hmm. And the guy goes, I don't have any money to pay him.
Yeah.
I'm not asking for payment. If you are innocent, we will represent you, and we will put anyway, the movie's about all the barriers that were put into place to prevent Thurgood Marshall from being able to really represent this person. How there was some home cooking involved and on things, and ultimately how the case came out. I really, really thought this was an excellent film. It really painted a nice portrait of that period of time. Mm-hmm. You know, if we look at the United States as a continuing evolution of people trying to experience liberty or experience their freedom to the fullest level, you know, we have part of our population not experiencing that, and this was part of breaking that barrier. So this is a wonderful film. I highly recommend it on the level, highest level. So go. I would say 80, 85 out of 100.
Wow. Yeah, I need to get my list out and make sure that I'm getting some of these great films. You also saw a documentary called Betty Page Reveals All. This is certainly a departure from the last film.
That's right. Well, this was actually a pretty interesting film. I do have interest in Betty Page. She's the pinup.
Of course you do.
Of course. I'm a guy. I'm a guy. Anyway, she's the pinup from the 50s that was always in the, you know, between the, you know, the jungle looking. Bikini between and the pictures, the kinky pictures and all that other stuff.
She is an icon. There's no question about that.
Well, anyway, she wasn't always an icon.
Hmm.
And this is part of the story of how they one, rediscovered her, not that she was ever lost, and then eventually how she got paid for that because she really, really was poor at the time. And it was Hugh Hefner's attorney that was able to secure the rights. So if you wanted to do something with Betty Page, you'd have to pay her.
Wow.
So that's how she got paid on it. There's a lot of great stories on here. That's not really the reason why I put this on here. Steve and I, through the generosity of the revenue that was produced by this podcast, were able to get MoviePass.
You know, subscriptions,
So we can watch movies.
We can go to movies whenever we want now. Thank you to our listeners.
One a day.
Every day. We're not going to go every day.
We can't. Anyway, it allows us to review movies.
Yes.
And with our subscription, because you bought them through Costco.
Yes, sir.
We were able to also get a streaming movie service with that. Mm-hmm. And that streaming service is called Fandor. So we have a year subscription to Fandor.
Yes, we do.
And on my Apple TV, next to the Netflix, and next to Amazon Prime and HBO Go, I have Fandor right now.
Mm-hmm.
And this is an art house type of library.
Yes, it is a different library from your Netflix library, but there's so many different kinds of film out there. This is an opportunity to get to some of those that maybe you haven't seen before.
And they have a wide variety. So these could be early stuff, you know, maybe from the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, but also very modern things too. And they're usually, there's something genre kind of holding them together.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a reason why they're placed on there. So this is like a curator selecting a library of, you know, I don't know how many movies on there, maybe 1,000.
Yeah.
But it's kind of a Netflix alternative for the person who wants more of an art house look to it. This was the first film I saw on it. It streamed wonderfully. It's wonderful. This is a great service.
It's interesting to see all the subscription services. There's so many out there. It's hard to choose which ones to be a part of, the ones that have value for you. Maybe this one's one of them. Take a look. Opening this week, we've got some movies. There is one movie that is a 2018 release this week, Chip. It is The Maze Runner, The Death Cure.
All right, so this is based on the young adult series of books.
Yep.
And I didn't read any of these because my kids, it was beyond the era of my kids. I think.
Right. This is the era after Harry Potter where they needed something for the young people to read. And so they came out with these series. The Maze Runner and Divergent came out at about the same time.
And this is probably the fourth film in that series.
It's the third? Or fourth. I'm not sure.
It doesn't really matter.
I honestly don't know because this is not my not made for me kind of film.
And I don't think it's made for my 16-year-old.
Right. My 16-year-old.
Although that's probably who they're aiming it towards.
Right.
And it's probably not of interest to my younger daughter, who's 13.
My 12-year-old might go see The Maze Runner. We have watched the first Maze Runner. I've seen that. And I know that my students in class read that in school.
It'll be interesting to see if it finds its audience.
Yeah.
And I do think that this is the biggest of the films that are being released this week.
And a lot of action. This is an action-adventure kind of a story. I'm not even clear on what the story is because they're not in a maze, but...
It doesn't matter, Steve.
Boy,
there's action.
Stuff. Yeah, they're all doing right. A lot of stuff.
But the next film is something that Steve has a lot of interest in seeing.
Yeah, the last couple of months I have heard about this film and it's finally coming out this week. It's called Please Stand By. This is Dakota Fanning playing a young autistic woman who writes fan fiction about Star Trek and her adventure trying to get her script made into something on TV.
So in the trailer, there is a scene where we have our superstar mm-hmm. talking to another person, and they're speaking Klingon.
Yes, the other person is, of course, Patton Oswalt.
Of course it is. So anyway, it seems like the story is she's written this fan fiction, uh-huh. and she needs to get to L.A. somewhere.
And it sounds like a good story. From the trailer, the story that she's written seems like it would be a good story to produce. But she is an autistic person who needs all sorts of assistance in life, and she finds a way to make it across the country to Los Angeles.
And this is going to be an interesting story on how, maybe demonstrating how autistic people could be independent.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the family, of course, she left, and it seems like she didn't tell them she was leaving.
Right.
And they're very concerned. Right. And Patton Oswalt is a police officer.
Uh-huh.
And so, and... They spoke Klingon, Steve.
Yes.
And maybe that's that story. Anyway, this looks very interesting. I look forward to seeing this.
This is one of those movies that is being released this week, both in theaters and streaming. So there is a very good chance that I will have a review for this one next week, either with my movie pass or, watching it in my house without going to the movie theater. The other one that I have high expectations for, but I'm not sure. This one's called The Clapper.
And this is about the product that's sold on late night television, Steve.
No, well, in a way, it sort of is. It's about an actor who takes the part of somebody in the audience for those late night commercials.
Exactly.
So we have
Ed Helms.
Ed Helms is in this, and he looks the part for sure. And the story here is he accidentally becomes famous for being the face in the audience for a whole slew of different commercials.
He just basically becomes a face that gets recognized in a lot of stuff.
Uh-huh.
Like if you were always the backup dancer for videos and they just said they ran you through
Who's that guy?
Exactly.
And then there's a whole story where the whole world seems like they're trying to find this guy. Who is he? What can we do? How can we, you know, honor his work or exploit him? Whatever the choices are.
Sure. It's got Amanda Seyfried in it. It's Alan Thicke in it.
One of Alan Thicke's final movies, because we lost Alan Thicke last year. So this is one of his last movies.
This looks kind of independent. All right. We got a final movie, Steve.
Yeah, this one you might find on Fandor really quickly. This is a really art house kind of film. Very David Lynchian. Just a lot of weird images. It's called Like Me.
Steve, all I can say is that if you have interest in seeing this, look at the video first.
Watch this trailer. Go to our show notes and look at this trailer.
This is definitely very much, looks like Clockwork Orange.
Yes, the scary parts of the Clockwork Orange.
Without much of a story. Maybe just a lot of stuff
moving. Maybe there's a story. Maybe the trailer is leading us in a knowledge of this without the story, and maybe there's a great story there, but they're not telling it in the trailer. They're definitely not telling it in the trailer.
So this will be one that the film students will enjoy.
Yes. There's nothing wrong with those sorts of films. There's something to be said for those art house films, those weird imagery films. There's a lot of weird imagery in Like Me.
Book it.
Brings us to our book of the week. You and I have been reading a book called $2 a Day, Living on Almost Nothing in America. This was published in 2015 by a couple of professors, and it paints a picture of America and a group of people that we might not think about very often.
I was like, Catherine Eden, she's a research professor at Princeton,
mm-hmm.
and H. Luke Schaefer, who's also at the University of Michigan.
Okay.
And it's based on their work. And there is a group of people who live in the United States who are very, very poor. And one of the reasons, the definitions of their being poor is the amount of cash that they would have at their disposal to use on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. And that's where the $2 a day comes in.
Yeah, $2 per person per day is where they are living.
And these people are the people who really have fallen through the cracks. Mm-hmm. And there's really not a lot of help for them. So part of their research was the challenges they run through. All right, so we had the Great Society. We think of President Johnson bringing that maybe in the 60s. And then, you know, the welfare changed dramatically under Clinton. And a lot of the programs that were set up under the welfare state at that time were cut off. And these people were cut off from that type of safety net. Mm-hmm. And they're the ones who, listen, if you had a job that you had to go to, that you had to get from, say, one part of Chicago to another part of Chicago, you may not have the bus fare to be able to go there to earn what little money that they were going to pay, the minimum wage, maybe a little bit more minimum wage. You may not have the resources to be able to get there and perform that work.
Right.
So they really are in a, they're cash poor. And then they're expected to eat and all sorts of things, have housing.
Right.
And they're just, it's just one heartbreaking story after another.
Yeah, that is what I see here, is a collection of just heart-wrenching stories and with no real clear solution. I know, I'm a guy and I just want to find the answer. You hand me a problem and I want to give you the answer to the problem. The answer is not very simple to this problem.
This is an awful issue because mm-hmm. this is not just poor. This is the poor of the poor. And this group of people, in fact, there was the story of the mom here in Chicago had to go down to Texas mm-hmm. to live with family. And they were like, oh, you know, we're at least living someplace that's safe. We're around family who can take care of us.
Right.
Anyway, she had to hop around a couple places while she was there. But she walks in one day and the person who is the, I don't know, uncle or whatever he is, mm-hmm. was molesting his daughter, who is, you know, just a young child.
Right.
And so they had to leave there and go to the Salvation Army, who wasn't designed to take them on. Mm-hmm. It shows you what challenges they have, because if you find a job and you're working your 30, 40, 50 hours a week, many of them are working good hours. Mm-hmm. If you don't get sick because of the work you're doing, if there's not some other issue, you got people who have got to take care of your children.
Right.
And you're talking about from early morning, late at night, you work in odd hours. It just seems like that it just trying to get things in, you know, in order to get ahead is not, it's difficult. It's difficult for everyone.
It's difficult for us to get to work every day, but it's nothing compared to thinking about whether you have the money to get on the bus to get to work, whether you have the gas money to put into whatever vehicle you have accessible to get to work. The issues are unbelievable.
The lady who filled up the tank of fuel, mm-hmm. And she spent her money to put the $50 in the truck.
Because that's all she had, was $50 to get to work.
So, you know, one of the family members took the truck out for the weekend, came back with no fuel.
And she had no way to do anything about it, so she lost that job.
Exactly. She, you know, if you can't get here, we can't work. Right. Well, it's not the employer's fault for making that demand, but, you know, it just shows you that on such a massive level that they're having to live, that any deviation could create a domino effect on everything.
Right.
That maybe you can afford the place you're living in, but you can't afford to buy food. Mm-hmm. And SNAP's not going to be enough for
right.
you. Very, very interesting research. No clear, definitive solution to how to help these people rise above, other than, I would say, local groups. If you want to know what churches can do, mm-hmm. this would be a good thing.
That is one thing that we noticed was lacking in most of these stories, is where are the local groups? Where is the church community that is helping this community of people?
I don't know if they're really prepared to help this type of need. Mm-hmm. And I think they think, oh, well, social services will take care of it.
Right.
Social services, by the dictating of the new rules is not designed to help this group of people. Mm-hmm. So these people really are
stuck, a
subset, and it is something you need to just be aware of. This is a very fascinating book. I if you have interest in kind of understanding how social services works, what the safety net of the United States is, mm-hmm. how things, the rules have changed, and to get at least a little bit more insight, this is a good place to do it. I think their work is very commendable for here.
Yeah, I definitely learned more about this system that we have in place and serving, you know, the community and my students in my school. I have to think about where they're coming from before I can teach them anything. And maybe some of them are in these desperate situations.
Well, think about things that our local school system has. So we have a food bank mm-hmm. at the school system.
Right.
That's in addition to the food bank our area has.
Right.
Okay, and I don't even know. I know that we have shelters for homeless. I know we have shelters for, you know, when things happen that are certainly not very nice, battered situations.
Right.
But, you know, what are the long-term solutions to help build these people out and help them experience what ultimately is the greatest time in human civilization? There's no doubt that the wealth the average person has mm-hmm. is so much greater than it was at any time historically.
Even in the very near past, our grandparents, our great-grandparents, 50, 100
years ago.
Less than 100 years ago, they were poor people in desperate situations, and now we're here.
Many of us are rising above that, mm-hmm. and you know, we've got food in our belly and warm, we got shelter and all this other good stuff. But this one group, it just seems like that there's just very, when I say there's very little hope, the hope is that there's a system that allows them to get through there. But on the day-to-day basis, the struggle is real. It yeah, really
the stories,
is.
The stories are heartbreaking where no matter what they do, no matter what great choices they make, trying as hard as they can, they are stuck in the middle of this terrible situation.
Well, thank you. Good work, guys. We look forward to hearing your other stuff in the future.
Excellent. That is $2 a day, living on almost nothing in America. We highly recommend that you pick that one up from our Amazon store, amazon.toomuchscrolling.com.
Scroll with it.
Oh, wow. We live in the future, Chip. Your shoes can be your ticket onto the bus.
Steve, the Germans want to teach us a lesson.
In Berlin, you can buy a pair of Adidas shoes that are your transit pass for the rapid transit system in Berlin.
So, you know, up here in Chicago, we may call them gym shoes, but in Europe, they call them trainers.
Do they still call them sneakers in the South?
I always call them tennis shoes.
Tennis shoes.
Even though they were not for tennis, they could be for anything. It's like having a Kleenex.
Let's have some jump rope shoes.
Exactly. Anyway, in order to encourage young people to use public transportation and mm-hmm. not purchase an automobile, Adidas and you know, whatever their train service they used in Berlin, mm-hmm. Basically have put together, if you buy these shoes, it comes with, I mean, embedded in it is your train pass.
For a full year. Kind of like your movie pass that we just bought from Costco.
Exactly. Huh. So this is just a fascinating way of using wearables.
Yes.
To accomplish something that...
Finally, wearables are useful. Instead of just having your phone with the NFC chip and the Bluetooth and having my wallet in my phone, now I can have a pass in my shoe that proves who I am. This is just a step between here and having implants and going, here's my identity.
And with most athletic shoes, you know, these certainly do look like athletic shoes. I don't know if you saw a picture
they're
of
very
them.
Stylish.
They're not just a pair of black shoes or anything. No. These look like crazy running shoes.
I don't get the crazy colors. I have a pair of black shoes and I have another pair of brown shoes. I do have a pair of athletic shoes, but I don't know what I have them for. Tesla's Model 3 is still on the production line. They're doling them out very slowly, not nearly as fast as they expected to dole them out. But
we had a review of that automobile. The guy goes to the first real review.
Yeah. He borrowed one. It's not his car. He borrowed it for a period of time.
Drove a lot of miles. Mm-hmm. 3,000 or 4,000 miles.
And he says he likes it.
He likes it a lot.
Yeah.
And he basically says that, you know, basically it's the most innovative automobile since the Model T.
Wow.
With one exception. And that's what the he's basically making fun of the interface.
Yeah. Yeah, there might be some bugs in the system still. They still have to work some things out. But this, as a first review, he really liked this automobile. There's a software update that needs to be fixed. That's all.
That's what he said. He said that's the good news about the UI,
mm-hmm.
About you know the system that you that you're using and you're pressing the buttons on.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, the beauty is that they can. They can just, through an update, they can bring it back to what it was.
Right. They need the paperclip. It looks like you're trying to drive over the speed limit. Do you need help? No, that's not how it works.
So this really is an innovative automobile. It, yeah. It is something to watch,
mm-hmm.
and it's something to be aware of because it seems to be pushing every other automobile manufacturer to readdress the future of driving.
Yeah, I don't know if Tesla is the future of driving, but they are certainly the ones that are influencing Ford and GM and Volvo to find the next generation of automobiles.
All right, Steve, if we were in Japan and we were going to go to the movie theater,
we would watch out for Godzilla.
Okay.
That's all. If I ever went to Japan, that's all I would ever do is go, Godzilla.
Well, there are ways of presenting a movie. And when we're using movies like The Last Jedi,
uh-huh.
which we know we have a very big audience for,
correct?
There usually are some fun things that can happen. So yeah. Tell us about this South Korean company that basically created a unique ability to watch the Star Wars movie, The Last Jedi.
This is a great idea. This is a 4D screening of The Last Jedi, but you can choose the light side or dark side of the Force. And there's a different experience with all of the 4D extras depending on which of those two you choose.
All right, so when you go to a movie, especially one that's special effects driven like The Last Jedi,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's wind, there's fog, there's lights that could go on. Uh-huh. There's all sorts of things that smells, uh-huh. whatever you could imagine. Well, that's what the 4D effect is. Right. Usually, if I've seen something that's been, quote unquote, 4D,
mm-hmm.
I've seen it maybe at Disney World or you
some
saw it.
Some special theme park of some sort.
Busch Gardens.
Legoland has one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, the company that put this on is 4DX.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, you got to pick to go into the light side presentation or the dark side presentation.
Uh-huh.
Or both.
Or
see.
Maybe watch one and then watch the other and compare the two. That would be a good way to sell two tickets to a movie.
And as we use MoviePass or have streaming services available to us that are in very high quality, seems like we address that every week.
Yeah.
This ability, this carrot to get us to show up at the theater.
They have to give us something. The nice comfy seats are fantastic, except when you're an old man and you tilt your head 10 degrees and you fall asleep.
Steve, they're great for sleeping.
Oh my God, I've had so many great naps in the movie theater the last couple of years.
All right, something a lot of people may not know is not every single band has been on the streaming services.
Yeah, I completely did not know this. When you put this in the show notes, I was like, really? That's a thing? Def Leppard is now on streaming services. They're one of the last holdouts.
Sure, Metallica was a holdout. Mm-hmm. Def Leppard was a holdout. We get partial holdouts. You know, like Taylor Swift released her album. She holds it from streaming services for 3 weeks or so.
Mm-hmm.
But Def Leppard was one of the bands from the 80s.
Yes.
Mutt Lang driven producer.
Uh-huh.
And they produced a lot of great songs.
Yes, sir.
And unless you had the CD.
Which I do. The original CD that still say DDD on it because it's a fully digital selection.
Well, if you think about it, you know, when the big growth where people were buying albums for, I don't know, $9.99 or mm-hmm. buying songs for 99 cents, they were not part of it.
Right. I did not know this because I have my original CD. I uploaded my original CD to Google Music, and I have it on my streaming on my phone whenever I want it.
Well, now it's available. If you have Spotify or Apple Music or any of those other services.
Which I don't.
Well,
but a lot of people do. A lot of people do.
it is there, and you can now play their music.
So, Pyromania and Hysteria are two of my favorite albums of all time.
You listen to Photograph over and over and over.
Oh, man, I love those albums. And Def Leppard is coming to Chicago in July. They're playing Wrigley Field with Journey.
There you go.
Oh, my God. I think that I know what concert I'm going to in July.
Steve's
going
to relive the 80s.
I always relive the 80s. That's all I do is relive the 80s. What are you talking about? I don't know, Chip. I think we have enough information to survive another week. What do you think?
Only if we can come back next week.
I think we can. We've got all sorts of options. There's so many movies I got to get to, and we have just so many opportunities. If you need more information, give us a call or a text. Our phone number is 805-4104-TMS. Our email is toomuchscrolling@gmail.com. We're on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. We're on Stitcher and TuneIn Radio. And every day of the week, you can go to our news site, news.toomuchscrolling.com. Find all the information that you need. I want to thank you again for listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hassenflow.
We'll see you in the future.